Stop waiting for permission to start your business. Your idea is one step away, and Shopify can make it easy to make it happen. That's what we did at Crypto 101 and use Shopify to sell our book, and the rest is history. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify Checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101. August is a good time to clean up the closet a little bit. Get rid of the summer stuff that you didn't use, prepare for your autumn wardrobe, and upgrade the basics that you'll actually reach for every week. That's why I like Quince. They make fewer, better pieces that feel premium, but don't come with the luxury markup. For me, the piece I keep coming back to is the 100% European linen drawstring beach pants with the matching shirt. I love wearing them on beach vacations because they're easy, they're breathable, comfortable, and they look put together without feeling like I'm trying too hard. Throw them on during the day, wear them by the water, or dress up a little bit at night. That's the kind of staple I actually use because it has versatility. And that's really what Quince does well. They specialize in everyday pieces that work harder, like ultra-soft organic cotton tees and premium Magnolia and cashmere sweaters that can go from a casual workday to dinner out. If your basics are starting to feel worn out, Quince makes it easy to upgrade with premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60 with the fit, structure, and quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a go-to for everything from hotel quality bedding and bath essentials to premium cookware and travel must-haves. Guys, you've been hearing it for so long now, how I tell you, you have to go to quince.com because the website is so fun for all the options that they have. It's a great website to go click around, and the prices can't be beat. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers. Go to quince.com/crypto101. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/crypto101.
All right, everybody, we are back at the Out East Summit, brought to you by The Tie. It's been a very lovely, although potentially a little bit rainy here coming up soon, so I'm glad we got to speak before the rain. A little windy, but how are you doing? This is Keone Han, co-founder of Monad. I got the pleasure of speaking with.
Yeah, great to be here. I'm doing well.
Awesome. Thank you for having a little chat with us today on the Crypto 101 podcast.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So let's jump off at your old place of business, which was Jump Trading, which is really known for low latency, quantitative, what you would call, algorithmic trading. Tell us a little bit about that experience and how it kind of parlayed you into building your own very high throughput, low latency blockchain.
Sure thing. Jump is a great firm. I really enjoyed my time there. I was there for about 8 years, started in 2013. I was focused on futures trading. Futures is the most liquid market in the world. It requires really high precision, really performant systems. And my trading team there was one of the top participants in the world on many major futures exchanges, including CME, Eurex, ICE, OSE, the Osaka Securities Exchange, and many others. So it's just a great experience working at scale, building really performant systems, using math, using machine learning. Nowadays, it feels like everyone is talking about AI and machine learning to drive their workflows, but we were kind of like an earlier adopter of machine learning to build really precise predictions that allowed us to be super competitive. And he's really competitive, really high volume, low margin, high sharp types of markets.
Awesome. And then from there, at what point were you like, you know what? I'm going to start my own blockchain, because I feel like that's it's a big jump. And, you know, at the time when you started Monad, maybe there was some career risk. I mean, you had I don't want to call it a cushy job, but you had, I mean, the job that everybody out of school wants to have, right? Working at a big name firm. And you said, I'm going to take the risk on myself. I'm going to found something. Tell us a little bit about that thought process.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a couple of things. When I was in college, I worked on some sort of like social media like startups, just for fun. I think I always knew that I wanted to start a company someday, but it was really dependent on the right idea. And for me, it was a great experience joining a bigger company and learning how the world works and learning how to get things done, learning how to have really high standards.
Yeah.
But then after, you know, a number of years of trading, and especially working with my coworker, James Hunsaker, who I started working with in 2014. He's the best engineer I've ever worked with. Wow. Has really deep knowledge of how systems should actually work. And there'd be a lot of times where he'd be staring at like how our system was doing and kind of like just walking around the floor, like pacing around, just thinking. And then eventually after a couple of days of this, he actually come to have like a eureka moment and go re-architect the system.
Wow.
So I saw him do this several times over this period of 8 years when I was working with him. So in 2020, we started doing more and more crypto trading. In 2021, we ended up merging our team into the crypto team at Jump, which is a much broader effort that is trading crypto, but also researching and investing and supporting projects in the space. And after doing that, then it was kind of a gradual transition of going purely from trading to building, sort of like more from the outside inward, looking at the best projects in the space. And then from there was a natural leap to just go try to build something that was way better than what we saw out there in the market.
I love it. And I saw a video recently, I forget who it was, they were doing a recording inside of Jump's like data centers. And is it true? I don't know if this was AI or if it was real, but does Jump have just these massive, massive warehouses of compute so that you guys could run your systems? Is that right?
Yeah.
And so now, you know, you're working on a decentralized system, and I'm just curious, what's the difference in how you think about the architecture? What's the difference in the performance? Like, as you have, you know, Jump all centralized, low latency right next to the stock exchange. And now you're relying on decentralized set of validators all over the world. You don't know who these people are. You don't know where they, you know, what systems they have. What is that that binary?
Yeah, it's a great question that really sort of cuts at the, I guess, paradox of what we worked on before versus now.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes when people hear like, oh, HFT, like they immediately go, oh, that will totally exactly translate to building the high performance blockchain. And I think there's some similarities and there's some differences. I think the crypto problem, the blockchain problem, is fundamentally still a technology problem. And so although some of the technologies are different, a lot of the insights are still the same.
Okay.
When we were building high performance systems at Jump, the name of the game is pipelining absolutely as much as possible.
So, what does that mean?
So pipelining just means doing multiple pieces of work in parallel and doing a good job of managing the staging of all of these pieces of work. But it's just the idea that, you know, for example, if you were trying to do your laundry, it would be illogical to, and you had multiple loads of laundry to do, it would be illogical to put the first load into the washer, then move it to the dryer, then fold it before starting on the second load.
Like, right.
You would interleave them. You would, when the first load of laundry goes in the dryer, you would put the second load in the washer and you would kind of stage them.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so, no, it's just like everyone understands it. It's a intuitive thing, but a lot of computer systems, when they're first built, they're built without as much pipelining as is possible. they're built in a more like linear, straightforward way. And so the story of Monad is really about taking pipelining to its extreme and finding all the work that can be done in parallel and then organizing that work appropriately.
Okay.
And so in the context of like nowadays, Monad is sort of known for being the blockchain that does pipelining between consensus and execution. These are two subcomponents of the overall blockchain problem. Consensus is the problem of getting many nodes that are located all around the world to agree with each other,
right,
on an official payload, on an official ordering of transactions. And then execution is the problem of actually executing those transactions and, you know, creating the results of those executions. Like there's a transaction that might be depositing money into Aave, and then there's another transaction that might be minting an NFT and so on. And execution is the problem of actually just running the virtual machine that causes the state changes that are encoded in those transactions. And so Monad is kind of known for being the not only the parallel execution blockchain that executes many transactions parallel to each other, but also the pipeline blockchain that does consensus and execution in parallel rather than interleaving them and having a lot of inefficiency.
I don't know about you, but dinner sneaks up on me all the time. I'll open the fridge and realize I have no protein ready. And at that point, I'm not trying to go to the store, make a last minute grocery run, and gamble on whatever meats or burgers are left at the store. That's why Omaha Steaks is a great freezer move. It's like having a trusted butcher at home and quality protein when you need it the most. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation with over 100 years. It's the same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped straight to your door. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. Your family will think dinner took hours, but it didn't. Just minutes. And if you never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect place to start. You get 20 premium steak burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak. 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, and 4 sirloin burgers. Guys, this is the altcoin basket of burgers right here. If me and Brian were on the rundown, we would be divvying these up 50-50 because you know how we like to grill in the summer. So you're not just getting a box of burgers, you're getting different flavor profiles, different textures, and real steakhouse style variety you can throw on the grill or cook up fast during the week. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always the headcount, budget, or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves and suddenly everybody's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform trusted by 94% of the Fortune 500. It captures workflows as they happen and turns them into step-by-step documentation your team can review and share. You just do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot automatically. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps and opportunities to simplify or automate. To see what Scribe could look like for your org, head to scribe.how/crypto101 and mention Crypto101 for your first month of Scribe Capture free on select plans. That's Scribe, scribe.how/crypto101. Everybody is talking about AI right now, but the AI that actually matters is the kind that saves you time, helps you make smarter decisions, and takes work off your plate. And if you're running an e-commerce business, shipping is one of those things that can either keep you moving or completely slow you down. That's why I like ShipStation. It's an end-to-end order fulfillment platform built for e-commerce businesses, and its AI is trained on decades of real shipping data from billions of shipments across the world. So instead of juggling a bunch of different tools, ShipStation helps you stay in control. It can alert you when your stock is low, recommend the best carrier selections and rates, automate tasks, and help you save time as you grow. You also get inventory syncing across sales channels, automatic rate shopping, a branded returns portal, and integrations with accounting and CRM software, all in one place. If I were running an e-commerce store, this is exactly the kind of tool I'd want, because once the orders start coming in, you don't want shipping to be the thing that's holding you back. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code crypto. That's ShipStation.com, code crypto. ShipStation.com, code crypto. Taxes and fees apply.
Yeah. And so a lot of technical stuff there. And for, you know, a lot of people who are, you know, kind of watching, a lot of them aren't developers, but they are traders and they are DeFi, you know, DeFi power users. And so talk a little bit about the experience that they should expect on Monad as opposed to where a lot of people are on Ethereum. Mm-hmm. What's the difference tangibly?
Yeah, right now Ethereum has 12-second block times and has capacity for about 20 transactions per second. It's like 250-ish transactions per block and okay. A block every 12 seconds. Meanwhile, Monad has blocks every, this is actually super timely. right now, every 400 milliseconds.
Oh, wow.
But tomorrow it's going to every 300 milliseconds.
Wow.
So I'll just tell you the like tomorrow thing.
Yeah.
So every
first look right here.
Exactly. Yeah. So every 300 milliseconds and,
25% capacity increase. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It has capacity for 10,000 transactions per second.
Wow.
So you're going from 20 transactions per second to 10,000. You're going from blocks every 12 seconds to blocks more than three times a second. So over 36x more frequent.
Yeah.
And finality going from 12 minutes on Ethereum to 600 milliseconds on Monad.
Wow.
So these are just like Monad is just a high frequency style system that is really pushing the limits of speed of light, information propagation all around the globe, and delivering that really fast user experience and very fast finalization, which then allows trading systems, exchanges, money markets,
more liquidity too, right?
Exactly, to all just have that very the user experience that you just would expect.
Yeah. No, it's super fascinating because, you know, if I think about like, I don't have any high frequency trading experience or applications running. So typically I'm point and click, right? I'll find something on Aave or find something on Uniswap and, you know, make a trade. And, you know, it costs, you know, at the peak of the bull market, I remember there was some transactions that were literally $1,000 on Ethereum.
Yeah.
And then now it's like they've normalized and stuff. But if somebody is, but sometimes there's like liquidity that's just evaporates on Ethereum, I think because people can't manage risk around, like the really mm-hmm. smart money mm-hmm. can't algorithmically manage risk for the exact reasons you're saying. There's no, you know, finality and all that kind of stuff over the course of milliseconds. And so was your platform really built for, would you say the retail user and everybody in mind first, or really the institutions in mind first who were able to come and kind of seed the liquidity?
I think that it's really both. At the end of the day, there's the user experience of using an app and having very fast, you know, not having to wait for things to complete and finalize.
Yeah.
But then to your point earlier, liquidity really depends on fast block times, fast finality, cheap gas fees,
things that are reliable.
And liquidity is also not just like sometimes in crypto, we talk about the idea of TVL or
right.
total value locked in crypto. But depending on where that liquidity is positioned within the order book, that, you know, it might be very actionable. It might give the end user, whether that's a retail participant or an institutional participant, really good pricing, or it might be really inefficient, very far away from whatever the fair value
yeah,
is.
It might be slippage.
Yeah. So what we noticed on Ethereum and other blockchains is that even though nominally it sounded like there was a lot of liquidity, in practice the slippage was massive, and that was because it was impossible for market makers to quote very precisely and to adjust their quotes all the time, like up and down as they're responding to new information in the market, because it would just be too expensive to constantly update their quotes. And so instead, they just leave a sort of passive order that's over a very wide range of prices. And there's not a lot of liquidity near the top of book.
Yeah.
So in practice, what it's meant is, for example, last week, Purple, which is a fully on-chain perpetuals DEX on Monad, traded $300 million of volume.
Oh, wow.
In the past 7 days. It fully on-chain. Every single transaction, every single like add and cancel and trade is just a transaction on Monad. And that's made possible by this really cheap transaction fees and really fast performance of Finality.
That's awesome. So I want to get to two key things. I want to get to some key metrics that you guys are paying attention to outside of speed. I want to talk about user adoption and stuff like that. But before we get to that, I'm curious. And then I also want to talk about the Coinbase airdrop and kind of how that all came together.
Sure.
But I want to know kind of in terms of some of the applications that are being built, like you just mentioned Purple. What are some other applications that people can check out that have got you really like, wow, that's interesting? Or I didn't even think like something that's like, you know, not just a fork of Aave or, you know, something that we could get on a different chain, like something that's unique to Monad.
Yeah. I think there's, you know, there's many different categories of apps and builders right now. I think three that are really getting a lot of traction right at this moment are trading, payments, and tokenization.
Awesome.
And I think that all of these are really centered around this idea that what crypto can offer to the world is an open platform where everyone can get access to the maximum amount of opportunities. And that's both on the, you know, asset side, on the trading side, on the earning side, like to deposit up to hold stable coins or other assets and earn interest on them, or on the borrowing side, like, you know, for anyone who's borrowing money to get the best global rates rather than the best rates within their, whatever their local city or country is.
Right.
I think it's really a story about sort of breaking down the regional barriers and giving a global financial system. And so sort of to that end, we're seeing a lot of traction on the trading side with apps like Purple or Kuru, which is a fully on-chain spot order book DEX.
Oh, very cool.
That's trading about $20, $25 million of volume per day.
Nice.
Prop AMMs are also growing quite rapidly.
What's a Prop AMM?
Prop AMM or proprietary AMM is sort of an extension of the original automated market maker AMM concept. Yes, it's an AMM that adjusts its midpoint based on an external Oracle price or based on like a market making firm piping their prices into this system.
Okay.
So it's basically like, it's just a more efficient way of using capital by having quotes that are constantly very close to fair value, very close to top of book.
Nice. And then in terms of like, so I know Monad is what you would call EVM compatible. So people could take their applications they built on Ethereum or with Solidity, and they could easily port it over to Monad. And I'm curious about the decision-making that went into that. And also, because I believe you're not an L2 blockchain, right? You wouldn't consider yourself an L2, right?
Correct, yeah.
And what was the decision that went into that as well?
Yeah, so Monad is a EVM compatible layer one. The reason to be EVM compatible is that we believe that EVM is clearly the dominant standard,
right?
It's where almost all builders are using this, the programming language Solidity that builds for EVM. They're already using the set of tools. There's so much network effects, and honestly, all the applied cryptography research is being done in the context of EVM as well.
Oh.
So it's the dominant standard, but it's very inefficient right now. So with Monad, we just make it far more efficient while allowing everyone to reuse everything that they've built. As to why Monad is an L1, we believe that the existing L1s have significant problems right now, and we're resolving those problems one by one. And so far, the biggest problems that we've resolved are around performance, frequency of block times, throughput, and finality times, which then has a knock-on effect on a lot of other use cases like payments. One specific example I want to mention is, I think, you know, people probably know that credit cards, crypto credit cards and debit cards are getting much more popular nowadays. Sure. And it's great because it's a way for people that have assets on chain to be able to go spend them in the real world.
Yeah. And it kind of, the models differ, but like you can have ones like borrow against your crypto. So it's not like a taxable event, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you can keep earning interest on your balance that you have on chain. It can be like,
it's pretty badass.
A lending protocol, et cetera. Yeah, so it's awesome. And one of the problems that people are running into is that credit card systems, like the POS systems, need fast finality in order to be able
to slide it and wait for, you know, a minute for a block to convert 12 minutes, right?
Exactly, yeah. And so if there is basically like if the blockchain doesn't have fast finality, then the issuer ends up having to tie up a huge amount of capital only in order to sort of front that risk.
Makes sense.
Yeah, not settling. So with Monad, the great thing is with 300 millisecond block times, 600 millisecond finality, that's under that 1 second threshold that the payment networks need in order to get a response back from the network
for sure.
So that's a huge unlock. So I guess just going backward a little bit, why an L1? We saw huge problems with existing L1s, both on, you know, this like performance aspect, the finality aspect, and then most importantly, actually the pre-trade privacy aspect. So right now in layer one blockchains, when you submit a transaction, it's in a pending state until it gets included in a block and finalized.
Oh, is that the mempool?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So it's in the mempool. You know, frequently like other people can see that transaction.
They front run it.
They can front run or sandwich. And it results in all of this quote unquote MEV or maximum extractable value by other participants in the systems.
Yep.
And we think this is a massive, massive problem
for sure
that no blockchain has solved to date. We actually recently just published two research papers. One is called Cadence. So it's a new consensus mechanism that don't want to get in all the details,
yeah.
But
we could be here for an hour doing it.
Yeah, so it's a new consensus mechanism that enables multiple concurrent proposers, taking the pipelining in Monad to one step further. It basically takes Monad to 100 millisecond block times with 200 millisecond finality, which is really crazy because the transit time around the globe is actually like a round trip will be several hundred milliseconds. So it gets around that
if you're moving at the speed of light.
Correct.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
So it gets around that through this like really clever system. And more importantly, it makes the transaction or it makes the blocks shielded until they're committed. And then the second paper that we published called BTX, batch threshold encryption protocol. Which enables encrypted mempools so that when you submit a transaction,
you're not broadcasting your intent to everybody.
Exactly.
Interesting. The last kind of technical question I'll get into is just like I've heard that if you want to run like a Solana node or a validator, you have to spend like all like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for like this upkeep of a node and like the node grows exponentially and you have to have this really fast, you know, hardware. But then on the opposite side, in order to keep it all decentralized, on the opposite side, you have Bitcoin, where you could run a Bitcoin on a Raspberry Pi, you know, a $10 or $50 little device. Mm-hmm. Where on the spectrum of that does Monad fall? If somebody at home watching, they say, hey, I want to take part in this decentralized network. I want to be a validator. Mm-hmm. Do they have to have the creme de la creme Solana style hardware, or could they do it on their MacBook or something like that?
Yeah. You can run a Monad validator on a Costco MacBook.
Oh, wow. A Costco MacBook.
Yeah.
The lowest grade one.
I don't know if it's the lowest
grade one,
but yeah, the point is that the requirements to run a validator on Monad are actually very similar to the requirements for running an Ethereum validator.
Awesome.
The only tweak is like you need a slightly larger SSD.
Okay.
But SSDs are really cheap. Like, if you can buy it.
Yeah, you can just insert it in.
For like $200.
Very cool.
So that was very core to the overall effort was lowering the costs that to run a node so that anyone may run a node, and also just getting the absolute most performance out of all this hardware that exists.
Yeah. So. And is the incentive, or is there an incentive to run a node? Do you earn some kind of money to do that?
Yeah, there's a Monad's a proof of stake blockchain. So node operators, basically they can stake to their own node and then earn whatever they produce a block. And the frequency of block production for them is proportional to their stake. Other people can also delegate stake to them, and then they earn a portion of the earnings of that delegator.
Very cool.
So yeah, it's 200 nodes in production right now, fully globally distributed. Quite unique, actually, in crypto. Like,
yeah.
You search for on the internet for validator map, and then you put in your favorite blockchain, you probably won't find anything because...
they're all run centralized.
Yeah, my couple of firms. Blockchain foundations actually don't want to advertise the distribution of their nodes. And so
it's nothing to be proud of.
Yeah. But if you do that for Monad, you'll end up at gmonads.com, which is it just shows like the actual distribution.
Super
decentralized.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. And then kind of the final two questions, as I alluded to a little bit earlier, just what are one or two really key metrics that you and your team are watching? You're like, hey, we want, you know, our efforts are going to be visualized in this going up and to the right. Mm-hmm. What would you say some of that is?
I think the first is the number of daily active wallets on individual apps. So I think daily active wallets on its own, chain-wide, is a very noisy metric because, you know, there's always like people that are doing random bots or things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think when you focus on an individual app by app basis, the signal is much clearer.
Very interesting.
And so we're...
So actual usage.
Yeah. So we're really monitoring like the number of users that are using, you know, each of the apps that are building on fully on chain on Monad. That's the first thing. And then I think the second thing is volume on the trading side, given the clear value prop that crypto offers to the world of open markets, and just seeing the traction of that.
Nice. Love it. And then to round out the discussion, you had a very unique, I don't know if it was a token distribution event or what you would refer it to as, but Coinbase launched the Monad token and gave all of their retail users the opportunity to opt into almost like an IPO for you guys. So tell us about what that was, why they've only done it with you as far as I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
What was the community feedback there? Tell us just what went into that process. And
yeah, it's super exciting initiative. For us, it was at the Monad Foundation, it was really exciting to be able to give a lot of people access to the token ahead of the public mainnet launch. I think that crypto is a story about open markets and open access, and this was really resonant for us. I also think that the reason why Bitcoin and Ethereum and other projects have ultimately had a huge impact in the world is because there are many stakeholders, there are many people that are aligned with the success of the network and are able to participate in the early days of the public network. And so it was just really important for us to do that. And doing it with Coinbase as the first project on their new token sale platform was also just an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, it took I'm sure a lot of effort to get to where you are right now. So congrats on all the success, but I mean, you have a lot still, I'm sure, that you're saying, hey, don't congratulate me yet. We still got a lot of stuff to do. So
yeah, job's not finished.
Yeah, job's not finished. So Keone, this was great. I really appreciate you coming on the Crypto 101 podcast today.
Thanks.
Where can people just find out a little bit more, follow along with your journey? I know you're pretty active on X. Maybe you could shout out some handles. We'll put it in the show notes.
Sure. We're at Monad, M-O-N-A-D, on X, and I'm at Keone HD, K-E-O-N-E-H-D.
All right. Perfect. Well, everybody watching, thank you for joining us here at the Out East Summit. Find Monad wherever you trade crypto, and we'll see you guys pretty soon here. Thank you, Keone.
Thank you.